Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
If you are just waking up, we appreciate you spending your Thursday morning with us here on Outkick. A bunch of stories that I think are unique and interesting that are popping out there. One, Jalen Hurts headed to Oklahoma. Congratulations to Jalen Hurts. I've got an easy solution for all graduate transfer issues. If you graduate from college, you can go wherever you want if you still have eligibility left. I can't believe how stupid many college coaches are with their inability to get this thing figured out. Oklahoma's coach, Lincoln Riley, total pussy willow, blocked me on Twitter for calling him out and pointing out that Austin Kendall, his quarterback who he recruited over to bring in Jalen Hurts, wanted to transfer as a graduate transfer to West Virginia. Lincoln Riley was not going to allow it. Talk about hypocritical. You are simultaneously recruiting a graduate transfer quarterback from another school that you might well play again in the postseason in Alabama. Jalen Hurts is that quarterback, while not allowing your quarterback to transfer as a graduate transfer to West Virginia where he wanted to go. And that went on for yesterday for part of the day. I called out Lincoln Riley. I tagged him on Twitter. And then what happens? He blocks me on Twitter. Only college football coach I know who has been so triggered by my opinion when I called out his hypocrisy that he has taken the trouble to go and block me on Twitter. Unbelievable. Lincoln Riley, not ready for prime time. Snowflake head coach. I don't think he's actually had to deal with any kind of substantial criticism because he took over Bob Stoops's job. It's interesting that he's so quick to block people when his defense can't stop anybody. Maybe he should focus on finding a defense that can actually make plays as opposed to being a pussy willow on social media. But let me solve this issue for the NCAA once and for all. If you are graduated from a school and you still have eligibility left, you should be able to transfer anywhere and play immediately. Also, I would implement a new transfer rule in general, which would be if you want to transfer out of conference, you can transfer out of the conference you're already in once without having to sit out a year during the course of your college career. I think that's eminently fair. I think that's reasonable. There are lots of kids out there that go to college, may not like their college decision that they made after their freshman or sophomore year, but if you tell them they have to sit out a whole year, it seems like forever when you are 18 or 19 years old, a year is a long-ass time. So, and you get older, it's not as big of a deal, but when you're 18 or 19, a year seems like forever. You remember those days. Why not just allow people to transfer for 1 year? You don't have to sit out as long as you leave the conference. If you are graduating, if you are a graduate transfer, which means you graduated from school, you should be able to go anywhere. I don't think that's a difficult call at all. So that story continues to percolate, continues to emerge every now and then. We'll see how Jalen Hurts does at Oklahoma. Third straight year that Lincoln Riley, Pussy Willow in chief, will have his third straight new starting quarterback. Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray to now Jalen Hurts. It will be intriguing to see how Jalen Hurts does in that offensive system. Jalen Hurts obviously wants to demonstrate that he can be a passing quarterback and try to create interest for himself among NFL scouts at the quarterback position. It's fair to say he needs to grow in a substantial fashion in terms of his ability to see the field and make the right read at the quarterback position. We'll see how he ends up doing. Another story. It's 2019, and the woke universe continues to be woke. Donald Trump had the Clemson football players in, gave them Big Macs, gave them Whoppers, gave them some pizza. McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, Domino's, French fries, all sorts of fast food, right?
Many, many French fries.
There you go. Many, many French fries from Donald Trump in the White House. This seems like the kind of decision that your grandfather might make. Donald Trump, 74 years old, 72 years old, whatever he is. If he had to decide what 18 and 19-year-old kids might like to eat, answer would be hamburgers, right? Hamburgers hard to go wrong. Well, yesterday on ESPN, Molly Karam, who sits between Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman every day, she went on her show and she thought she had detected a real conspiracy going on. Donald Trump was being racist by giving the Clemson football team hamburgers. I swear to God she said it. Here's that audio.
I took it very differently. When I saw him giving the football players, it's a predominantly black sport and fast food, my thought went a very different place. Also,
the president likes fast food.
Max Kellerman had to jump in and cut her off from the stupidest opinion on television so far this year, the wokest take. How dare you give a black guy a Big Mac? That's so racist of you, Donald Trump. Everything is racist in 2019. We had a caller earlier in the show who pointed out Clemson is actually 50-50 white players and black players when you look at their roster. So it's not even true that this is a majority black team. It's actually half white and half black. Now, maybe I missed it. Maybe Donald Trump gave the white guys steak and lobster and he gave the black guys hamburgers. If I missed that, then I'll readjust my opinion. But it seemed to me that everybody on the entire team got the same damn burgers. So we put up a poll question. Is ESPN's Molly Karam arguing it was racist of real Donald Trump to order hamburgers for the black players on Clemson's football team the dumbest and wokest sports take of 2019 so far? You can go vote at Clay Travis on Twitter. Nearly 11,000 of you have voted so far. 94% of you are saying yes. This is the dumbest and most woke sports take of 2019 so far. Congratulations to Molly Karam for picking up Jemele Hill's baton and leading the charge on the wokest take of 2019. All right, we're going to be joined here soon by Casey Smith. My name is Clay Travis. And as we roll into the AFC and NFC championship games, I wanted to get everybody's prediction. And we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow as well. But you guys' predictions. I'm out here saying I think it's going to be the Saints and I think it is going to be the Chiefs. The last 5 years, the AFC-NFC championship games, 9 times the home team has won. So there have been 10 games in the last 5 years in the AFC and the NFC championship games. 9 times the home team has won. I think that's going to continue this year. I think the Chiefs win and I think the Saints win. Danny G, who's your matchup a couple of days out from this game? Who do you expect to win the AFC and the NFC?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot the past couple of days. I think the Chiefs defense is going to stand tall again like they did last weekend, and they advance to the Super Bowl. So I have the Chiefs representing the AFC. And in the NFC, I think it's going to be a very close game. It's at home for the Saints, which makes me pause a little bit. But Drew Brees and his team just haven't looked the same on offense as they did earlier in the season. I think the Rams are going to pull out a really close one. So we're going to have a rematch of that beautiful Monday night game we had. It's going to be Chiefs-Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that would make the NFL happy because it's kind of a turn the page generationally. Not to say that Brady and Brees can't be in the mix to win another Super Bowl, but I think there's not a bad decision there if it was Goff against Mahomes. I do think probably the best possible matchup in the Super Bowl would be old veteran gunslinger Tom Brady or Drew Brees going up against the young, new kind of upstart quarterback. But I think that's exactly what I think we're going to get. I think we're going to get Mahomes against Brees. And honestly, that game will be huge for both men's legacies, even though Mahomes is only 23 years old. Brees, if he gets a second Super Bowl, I think kind of puts himself in a different category. One Super Bowl is a huge deal. Two Super Bowls, there just aren't very many multi-Super Bowl winners. And then on the flip side, Mahomes, obviously, we consider you to be a made man if you win a Super Bowl. At 23 years old, he would become a lot like Russell Wilson was. Insanely young to get that first Super Bowl. Also Ben Roethlisberger. And the rest of the career is kind of paved in gold in many ways once you get that Super Bowl at the age of 23. It relieves a lot of the pressure. What about you, Eddie Garcia? How would you break this down?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Danny G. I was actually hoping he was going to pick the Saints so I could be a little bit different. But no, I like, look, New England, they've lost to the Lions on the road. They were terrible on the road this year.
Yep.
I just don't see them. I don't understand why. I don't have an explanation for that, really. But I don't just see them completely turning it around in the playoffs from what they've been all year. So I thought they would win at home against the Chargers. I think they will lose on the road against Kansas City. So I got the Chiefs from the AFC. But I'm going to go to with the Rams as well. Maybe I'm just overreacting to what I saw for the Saints against the Rams. But they could have easily lost that game if Alshon Jeffrey holds on. You know, I don't know for sure, but I think that Philadelphia would have scored. So I just wasn't all that impressed with the Saints. And the Rams did impress me with that ground and pound, which I didn't expect. And, you know, Jared Goff, I think, can make enough plays. So I will agree with Danny. I think it will be close, but I'm going to pick the Rams as well.
Yeah, I will talk about this at the end of the show today. I think we are in many ways valuing the New England Patriots this year based on what they've been historically, their legacy, their mythology, and not actually ranking them and analyzing them based on what they've done this year. I understand the historical context of Brady and Belichick. This year's Patriots just aren't very good, which is why I think the Chiefs are going to win this game by double digits. What about you, Dub? What you got?
I'm on board with the Chiefs. I think they win. They cover. The other game, I like the Saints, man. Drew Brees, Sean Payton, they've never lost a home playoff game. That's not happening this weekend, in my opinion. I think we're going to have a Chiefs-Saints Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm on that with you. What about you, Roberto?
Well, I had the Patriots and the Saints to start the season, so I'm going to stick with my preseason picks of the Patriots and the Saints. I don't see Drew Brees losing a big game at home.
That would be impressive if you nailed the Super Bowl before the season started, so I would stick to my prediction if I were you, too.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Are you guys ready for the wokest take of 2019? Grab on to your toupees, cross your hearts, listen closely. This is going to blow your mind, all right? This was yesterday on First Take. We have talked some and had some fun with Donald Trump buying Whoppers, Big Macs, Wendy's, some pizza, I think, from Domino's, French fries, all the finest fast foods, as he put it, finest American foods, for the Clemson football team as part of their visit to the White House to celebrate their national championship this year. We've had a lot of fun with it. ESPN yesterday on First Take, Molly Karam, who is the girl who sits between Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman on their show, gave you the wokest take of 2019. I want everybody to listen. She said, when she saw Donald Trump had ordered fast food for a majority black football team, the first thing she thought was racism. I swear to God she said that, because fast food is racist, y'all. Winning the woke Olympics now that they fired Jemele Hill, there's an opening for the wokest person in all of sports, and Molly Karam is to the front of the line. This is what she said yesterday. You know it's bad when Max Kellerman has to be the voice of reason. Listen to this.
I took it very differently. When I saw him giving the football players, it's a predominantly black sport and fast food, my thought went a very different place. Also,
I think the president likes fast food.
So they had to cut her off. They had to cut her off because even Max Kellerman is like, oh, you daft idiot. No, you are not trying to argue that it was racist to give the Clemson football team hamburgers and French fries. When I heard, one of you sent me this clip, by the way, and that's why I want to encourage you as part of our new Woke Wednesday. Whenever you see the wokest take in 2019, the most ridiculously left-wing, everything is racist, men are all toxic takes in the world of sports, I want you to share them with me, and we're going to ridicule them as we deserve to. I want to bring up the crew. I'm going to open up the phone lines, 877-996-6369. This is so woke, my mind was blown. Fast food is racist is such a ridiculous take that some of these takes are so ridiculous that I can't even think of them. I got to be honest with y'all. I didn't even think of anybody being able to make the argument that the Whopper and the Big Mac and the Wendy's and the Domino's pizza and all the French fries, that giving that to college kids would be racist, particularly because there's a lot of white people on Clemson's team too. And also because Everybody likes hamburgers. I've never heard of the hamburger ever being connected with racism. It's not like he just ordered a bunch of Popeyes and just gave everybody fried chicken.
That's exactly what we were saying in the studio here during the break. Coop was still here from the Maller Show, and we were all laughing as we put that clip into our computer system. Because we're like, it's not like Trump was back there with a big wooden spoon like my grandmother used to use as she mixed the Kool-Aid and set pitchers of Kool-Aid out there with Popeyes and KFC
and by the way,
Pioneer Chicken.
Let me say this. I don't even know why black people get all the fried chicken credit.
I was just going to say that.
Who doesn't love fried chicken? Like, this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of, that people are like, oh, black people love fried. Yeah, I love fried chicken. You know who else loves fried chicken? Everyone with a pulse. Like, I've always been a little bit jealous that black people in the racial food draft got to claim fried chicken. It's the best possible food there is. Right? Like, how does that even happen? Like, who is out there like, oh, you know, like, you know who really hates fried chicken? Like, who hates fried chicken? If you are listening to me right now, regardless of whether you are white, black, Hispanic, Asian, gay, straight, religious, not religious, whatever you are, if you hate fried chicken, I want you to turn off the damn radio and go listen to somebody else, because I can't trust you, all right? So, first of all, that's a ridiculous proposition. But the hamburger, to its credit, so far as I know, has never yet been taken by a race and claimed by a race. Like, if you give a man a Big Mac, the first thing I'm thinking is not, oh my God, what a racist move.
Clay, like a crackhead, I was sitting outside of the Chick-fil-A here, the brand new one in Burbank. Yeah. I waited for 20 minutes for their lunch menu to open yesterday. I just sat there tapping my foot, waiting for the number one.
Oh, and you got a Chick-fil-A in Pasadena now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and welcome to your new world. It's phenomenal. And everybody loves Chick-fil-A. All right, let's bring in the crew. I want to get everybody's opinion on this. Eddie Garcia, you're a voice of reason. Other than your wife saying you have awful feet, I don't think that you really have any bad traits that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
When you heard this, when you heard the wokest take of 2019 now, that it was racist of Donald Trump to get hamburgers for the Clemson football team because some of them are black, what did you I mean, this is we're past the point of absurdity, aren't we?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't really watch that show, but I think there's a reason. We see now why she basically just introduces the questions and isn't the opinion person, because she has really bad opinions. But to me, fast food is the opposite of racist. It's inclusive. You go to a fast food place, you see everybody.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
It's insane. Dub, your thoughts on when you hear that the Whopper, the Big Mac, everything is racist, we know now, but how racist of it was for Donald Trump to go give hamburgers to people?
I mean, I'm literally speechless. I'm with Eddie 100%. You walk into any fast food restaurant in America, and it is the biggest melting pot of people you can find. I mean, I am absolutely speechless.
It is. Do you think this is evidence, like, in general? Maybe I'm rare on this, but I still eat fast food. Like, I feel like rich people are very anti-fast food and aren't aware of how democratic the fast food process is. Like, the response in general by many people in the media to Donald Trump giving fast food has been like, oh my God, as if they're shocked that people eat fast food. I think there are lots of reasons you can criticize Donald Trump. The fact that he legitimately loves Big Macs and Whoppers and loves to eat fast food is actually, I think, one of the signs that he's not in some crazy ivory tower, right? I mean, fast food is the food of the people. Now, is it the healthiest thing to eat? Of course not, right? There are a lot of healthier things to eat. You can eat Brussels sprouts and quinoa, but most people aren't eating Brussels sprouts and quinoa for every meal. Like, I had Zaxby's two nights ago, and it was phenomenal. I take my kids for fast food probably on average once a week. And I don't think that's crazy. I ate fast food a lot more than that when I was a kid because my mom worked and she would just drive through and grab stuff for us as she came home. And I think it's incredibly commonplace. Roberto, when you hear that Donald Trump is racist because he went and bought Big Macs and Whoppers, this is a crazy opinion.
Oh, it's stupid, man. Very dumb. I'm Mexican. I love me some cheeseburgers from McDonald's. I go at least once a week. My daughter loves a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Of course.
Racist.
This is very racist of you, Roberto.
Yeah, I know.
To be Mexican and go to a fast food.
I'm a Mexican, so you know what? Us Mexicans, we're going to take the cheeseburger, Clay.
I'm white and I love the Taco Bell. I know we've had this discussion before. It's underrated, Taco Bell.
It is white food.
We are going to open up the phone lines. I want your reactions to, let's play this clip one more time. And I love, the thing I love about this is even Max Kellerman on First Take, who argued, I swear to God, he argued this, that the Notre Dame Fighting Irish mascot should be removed because the phrase Fighting Irish is offensive to Irish people. I swear to God, that's how ridiculous this dude is. That's his argument. He made that argument. Even he heard Molly Karam and he's like, this is such a dumb argument. I've got to cut you off before you go even dumber. Here is what she said yesterday when they were discussing Clemson getting hamburgers in the White House.
I took it very differently. When I saw him giving the football players, it's a predominantly black sport and fast food, my thought went a very different place. Also,
I think the president likes fast food.
When I saw him giving out hamburgers to those poor college kids, my first thought was, racist. Welcome to ESPN 2019, the wokest take. Molly Karam, early leader in wokest take scoreboard.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We're talking about several different big stories. Jalen Hurts transferring to Oklahoma. We have Austin Kendall, who was blocked by Oklahoma, also as being a graduate transfer, now being allowed to go to West Virginia. Lincoln Riley, ultimate pussy willow move, has blocked me on Twitter, Oklahoma's coach has, for ridiculing the stupidity of his hypocrisy in this story. We have got a poll question that is up that is going to be a lot of fun and is already trending poorly. We have got, is ESPN, we got to play the audio for you. So first of all, let's play the audio. Yesterday on First Take, they were discussing the White House having Clemson to visit and Donald Trump buying hamburgers. And ESPN host of First Take, Molly Karam, I believe is how you pronounce her name, went with the wokest take of 2019, arguing it was racist for Donald Trump to buy hamburgers for the Clemson football team. Here's what she said.
I took it very differently. When I saw him giving the football players, it's a predominantly black sport and fast food, my thought went a very different place. Also,
the president likes fast food.
Max Kellerman had to cut her off there because she was making the argument that hamburgers and fast food for black football players was racist. Everything is racist. And so our poll question, is ESPN's Molly Karam arguing it was racist of Donald Trump to order hamburgers for the black players on Clemson's football team the dumbest and wokest sports take of 2019 so far? Over 3,000 of you have voted early this morning in our poll question. You can find me on Twitter at Clay Travis. 94% of you are saying yes. It is the dumbest and wokest sports take of 2019 so far. A bunch of people want to weigh in on the phone. By the way, we're going to be joined by Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports here fairly shortly. Let's go to the calls and allow everybody to continue to weigh in. Josh in Tennessee, what's your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mine is, I think it's sad how incredibly sensitive we're becoming, that you got to be careful on the food that you give people. But it's a good thing Donald Trump didn't go with his first idea of KFC.
Yeah, we said that earlier. And by the way, and I said, and I continue to say, it's unfair that black people get all the credit for fried chicken. I don't understand how that happened. Like, fried chicken is maybe the greatest food that America's ever created, right? You take a chicken and you fry it. It's phenomenal. Who doesn't like that? Why do black people get all the credit for fried chicken? I don't understand it. How did that happen? Where did they get fried chicken in the racial food draft? How did I miss this? I think that would be the overall number one pick. Roberto, you're Mexican.
Yeah.
If you had to pick number one American food, what would be your number one draft pick?
Me, I got to go with the hamburger. I love hamburgers.
So you would take the hamburger on behalf of Mexican people?
Yes.
So wouldn't that be unfair to everybody else if, like, the Mexicans got the hamburger? Because you'd be like, hey, I'm not Mexican. I love hamburgers, too.
Oh, well, too bad.
And then as a white man, came back and I took the taco? It'd be like, oh, white people get to eat tacos. You'd be like, well, I'm Mexican. We like tacos, too. No. I've ordered them. I've owned it. Danny G, what do you got? Some Italian in you?
Yeah, I'm Sicilian and Spanish.
All right, so what food would you racially draft on behalf of Sicilian and Spanish people?
Let's see. Man, I guess I would have to go pesto pasta.
All right, well, so that's Italian. So you're protecting the Italian. What about you, Dub? What are you? You got any ethnic blood in you?
Not that I know of.
All right, so what food would you draft on behalf of white people?
I mean, it's already been taken off the board, but there's nothing better than a cheeseburger, man.
All right, so you have to draft something else.
All right, I'll go hot dog.
All right, white people get hot dogs. Eddie Garcia, what's your racial background?
Dad is Mexican, mom was from Alabama, so you figure that out.
All right. So what race, what food would you draft on behalf of Alabamans in Mexico?
I guess I'll go pizza.
Oh, that's big. There you go. So we got all sorts of racial food drafts going on. See, what I'm pointing out here is the absurdity. Everybody of all different races can like the same food. I legitimately question. I don't know. I don't know when that happened, that black people got credit for fried chicken. I think it's a little bit unfair. Just going to say. I don't think black people should be able to draft fried chicken and keep it from everybody else. Tom in Madison, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love listening to you. If you ever come down to Madison, check us out. Do a satellite here. Clay, you took my idea. I was thinking right away of Dave Chappelle's draft. Did you see that when the different races draft the celebrities?
When Asian people took Tiger
kind
Woods.
Of story.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Same kind of story. I can't remember who got Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice. And
yes.
Yeah, it's perfect. You know, each race, you know, Hungarians can pick Panda Express or whatever the case, if they want to kind of go off the board.
Yes.
And then they own it, and then it's all theirs.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
it's a great skit. I don't know that the Chappelle show could get made right now because everybody's so sensitive. Maybe the funniest show of the 21st century. I think you could make that argument. The Chappelle show may be the funniest in terms of cultural relevance. And so many of the things that it did were ahead of its time. And I think we need more shows like that right now when we're steeped in perpetual aggrievement and sensitivity and everybody's always triggered. Marcus in California, what's up, my man?
Hey, man, what a Duke, man. Hey, you got fans out here in the projects. Clay, just wanted to let you know.
Marcus, let me ask you this. In the projects, how come, hold on, why did black people get credit for fried chicken?
Man, because, well, to be honest, since we were the first people on the planet, we should get credit for all food.
That's not a bad line, Marcus.
We love fried chicken.
Yeah, everybody loves fried chicken, though, Marcus. Why do black people get credit for it?
We love it. Like, there's a 24-hour Popeyes out here right now.
Yeah.
Is there a 24-hour Popeyes where you live?
I don't know if there's a 24-hour Popeyes where I live, but I will say this. Southern people love fried chicken more than anybody else, white and black. I mean, we got the KFC, we got Chick-fil-A, we got Popeyes, we got, if you name it and you can fry it and put a chicken there, Cane's, like all these different places.
Cane's
than any place per capita in the country.
Raising Cane's is good.
Yep.
Yeah, Raising Cane's is good. I just wanted to state the obvious, man. I didn't hear anybody say this, like, we all know why Molly Karam is on First Take. Like, it's not because she's intelligent or she's some football analyst or she's some sports savant. It's because she's hot. She's beautiful. She's really the only reason why I watch this. She's not on there. I changed the channel. I don't want to see, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only reason why they have ratings is because of Molly and the stuff she wears, you know? So, I mean, of course she's going to say some ridiculous stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, to be expected, just like Donald Trump does ridiculous stuff.
Yes,
it's to be expected.
Thanks for the call.
But yeah, that's it, man. Keep doing your thing, Clay, man. I'm a big fan, bro.
Appreciate it, Marcus. It is true. She's very good looking. There's no doubt at all about that. And there definitely seems to be a theme where you go with a white guy, good looking chick, black guy. That works on television and sports, right? There's a lot of shows that just follow that mantra. All right, we're gonna have a white guy. And then we're going to have a hot girl that white and black guys like. And then we're going to have a black guy. Not science. Seems to work pretty well. But even still, my bar for what she should say is I'm going to be even more lenient on her, right? Because unlike Stephen A. and unlike Max Kellerman, she's not being paid for her opinions. So when her opinion is so dumb that Max Kellerman has to cover up for her, that's a dumb opinion. Tommy in Florida. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, man. Awesome show. Here's the problem. It's a different take than I've heard on your show yet. We in this country are confusing racism with stereotyping. The person that is doing the stereotyping is Molly, the girl on the, she's the one that is saying black people can't afford anything other than fast food. It reminds me of the thing that Joe Biden said a long time ago when Barack Obama was running for president.
and he called him articulate.
Yeah.
And he was just giving him a compliment because, let's be honest, whether you like his politics or not, Obama could give a speech. He was extremely articulate. And it was the media that is stereotyping and saying, oh, wait a minute, why can't a black person be articulate? It's the, in other words, it's the opposite. She's
yeah.
trying to say Trump is doing it, and she's actually the one who's stereotyping.
It's actually a really smart take. It is, because what you're saying, and it's a good point, because that was an early crisis in Joe Biden's presidential campaign. He said that Obama was really articulate. And I think there were other quotes associated with it, too, where he was like, or maybe that was Reid, who was also a Democrat. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, but Joe Biden got in trouble for that. And you're right. It's a form of reverse stereotype, right? Because Molly Karam here is saying, oh, black people are poor. They eat fast food. Like, she is stereotyping black people when she's saying that Donald Trump is being racist. Her entire presumption is racist to begin with. Fueled by stereotype. And that's the same thing about the Joe Biden comment. It was like, oh, you can't call a black man articulate. Why? Because a lot of black men aren't articulate. So that's a racist statement that you are creating in order to make his statement racist. It is kind of fascinating, right? Because you're relying on a stereotype, which may or may not be accurate, but it oftentimes is rooted in racial thought in order to justify the opinion. And that's pretty funny. I mean, I think that's well said about what Molly Karam was doing, because she had to, before she accused Donald Trump of being racist, she had to first be racist, which, let's be honest, is oftentimes the case. The people who are most frequently going to accuse other people of being racist are often, in my experience, the most racist people, because they live in a world where everything is defined by race. Hank in Virginia Beach. What's up, Hank?
Hey, Colin. First time caller. But let me tell you about how crazy this
comment
is.
Hold on, what did you just say to me? Hey, what? What did Hank in Virginia Beach? Do we have the audio there?
Coleman, yes.
Coleman?
Yes,
why are you calling me Coleman?
That's it. Coleman.
Yeah, what? Who are you talking to here?
Colin Cowherd.
You think that I'm Colin Cowherd?
He called you Colin.
Hank in Virginia, you think that I'm Colin Cowherd? Is he still there? Hank, are you still there?
Still here.
Yeah, well, okay, so I'm not Colin Cowherd. Just a general idea here. As a general rule, when you call a radio show, knowing whose radio show you're calling, kind of important. Yeah, that's a Wheel of Fortune failure there. That's a Price is Right failure.
We just lost Hank.
Also, being unable to speak is not good. That is that on the Mount Rushmore of call failures, not being able to talk when spoken to and not knowing who the host that you're talking to is a significant swing.
This is probably the worst call I ever heard.
Yeah.
But even if you called Colin and called him Colin, that might still be a problem too.
Yeah, it might also be a problem. Although I do hope that somebody will call Colin later today and call him Clay. Victor in L.A. What's up, Victor?
Travis, what's up, man? I just want to say I love the show. I kind of thought, first of all, that is a very stupid comment that she made, or stereotype she made, or racist
yeah.
statement she made. But what I thought kind of along the lines like you did, I even thought that maybe it was thought out, because what a smart way to show that you're supporting corporate America, who supports lobbyists that take care of the Republicans, and then still giving food to the common man that everybody has common with for the Democrats. So I kind of thought maybe it was thought out a little bit when he did that. But that's my take on it. Thanks.
Oh, on Trump? Yeah, look, I mean, if I were advising the White House, I would have just filled the entire room with Chick-fil-A. Because, first of all, Chick-fil-A is incredible. Secondly, it would have totally triggered everybody, because people are like, oh, my God, Chick-fil-A is a religious-based fast food restaurant, everything else. I think that would have been funny. But the food is so good that I think people don't care. But as is, like, again, I try to put myself in, what would I think if I were 18 years old? If I were 18 or 19 years old and I was in college in Washington, D.C., and I had gotten invited to the White House for any reason, and when I walked in, there had been a ton of Big Macs and a ton of Whoppers, me and every guy I went to college with would have been like, this is the best day ever. We're getting to visit the White House, and when we got there, they had tons of hamburgers for us. I don't know anybody who wouldn't have thought that was awesome. Mike in L.A., what's up?
Okay. Yeah, that guy was funny. He didn't know who you were. I would put Molly Cannon's stupidity and racism right up there with Jemele Hill. Max just cut her off before she can Jemele Hill her way into a suspension. And most currently, right there with Areva Martin, we know what she did. She accused a radio talk show host of white privilege when, in fact, he was black, and which was just hilarious. Things are just out of control, and your example and explanation of stereotyping and these people actually being more racist than other people when they call other people out was spot on, and I enjoy listening to you. I get up, my body clock gets me up here in L.A. at 3 o'clock just to listen to you, so I really hate you. I hate you, and I listen to you.
Thank you for the call. I want to say this. L.A., we are a top 10 show in all of L.A. for men, which is extraordinary in terms of the audience that we have grown up with now in L.A. On 570 a.m. sports out there. It's pretty extraordinary for a East Coast morning show to now be top 10 for men in listenership. And so I want to thank the city of Los Angeles for everybody who obviously is waking up there early or going to bed late. And I know I know part of it is how bad the traffic is, right?
Risers for sure.
In 5 a.m. in L.A., you're trying to beat the traffic, and those numbers are absolutely massive for us.
5 a.m. here is like 8 a.m. in other cities.
Yeah, it really is. Like, so many people are trying to keep up with the East Coast, and also you got to deal with how bad traffic is. So the numbers are massive. So we thank you. And by the way, that's the case across the nation. We're doing really well. But when you have the second biggest city in America and we're one of the 10 biggest shows for men in that market, the people who are out there, the reason this show grows, honestly, it's not like they're spending millions of dollars advertising OutKick or anything like that. It's all word of mouth. It's you guys listening in the morning on satellite radio or one of our 300-plus affiliate stations nationwide and being like, hey, these guys on OutKick are a lot of fun to start your morning with. You'll have a good time with them. You should go listen. It's all word of mouth. And so in all seriousness, I want to thank you guys for what you've done for the show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Casey Smith with us now, big-time Dallas Cowboy fan. Casey, are you over the loss to the Rams yet, or is the 273 rushing yards that a fat running back put up on you still starting to sting?
You know what, Clay? The sad part about it is that I kind of wanted the Cowboys to start losing earlier in the season because I wanted Jason Garrett to get fired. So I kind of put myself in a catch-22 all season because when they started winning, I was excited because I was like, oh my God, this team actually looks like they may be able to make a run in the playoffs. But if they do that, Jason Garrett's going to be the head coach to like 2095. So I was just completely – I didn't know which way to go. So the game sucked, but at the same time, I was hoping Jerry would at least fire Scott Linehan. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. So I'm just unhappy across the board.
Do you remember the Super Bowl run at all? I'm not sure. I think you just turned 30, which I know was a sobering moment for you because anytime you leave your 20s, it's a big deal. But do you remember the 95? I can't do the math in my head right now. It's early in the morning. Do you remember the Super Bowl run from the Cowboys, or have they always been losers in your life?
So I was 7 the last time they won, and that I remember that a little bit because, I mean, I remember my dad being excited and watching those games, but I didn't have an emotional attachment to them like I did Texas A&M because, I grew up in a college football household more so. So I remember that happening, and I remember, all of us wearing Cowboys shirts to school. But for the most part of my life, I mean, after 7 years old, they've always been losers. I mean, since 1996, only winning 3 playoff games will do that to you. So that's why I get into arguments with Cowboys fans all the time that still live in the 90s. Like, they still are like, oh, we're America's team. It's like, well, they need to win a Super Bowl to get back to that prominence, and that's just not going to happen with this staff right now. And I don't know if it'll happen as long as Jerry Jones is making those calls. So it's tough to be a Cowboys fan because people still want to hold on to those Super Bowl runs, but those happened almost 30 years ago at this point.
I don't think we ever talked to you about this. I know you're an Aggie and you went to Texas A&M. But when the whole craziness was going on with Tom Herman, You even had to respect, okay, a cool hook 'em, right? As a response to a guy texting you, like, I'm going to tell your wife about everybody that you've hooked up with and all the awful things you've done. Like, I don't think I spent enough time on this show talking about how amazing of a response that was, okay, cool, hook 'em. And then to have your wife start selling okay, cool, hook 'em gear, even as an Aggie, that had to impress you, right?
Oh, absolutely, because, like, being an Aggie is one thing, but also being super petty sometimes is another thing, which I love.
Yeah.
And that was just an incredible response because he knew that was going to get everywhere. I mean, there was no way that he thought, like, oh, I'm just going to say this, and it's going to just go into, you know, being a completely invisible thing. And the fact that then she's wearing the shirt on the sidelines with him after the game, just completely ride or die, you had to respect it completely. Because if I'm on the opposite end of that, if I'm Zach Smith, I'm looking at that like, well, how do you respond to that? How do you come back from just something basically saying, I do not care about what you're saying at all, and then throwing up an emoji? Like, you're dead at that point.
It was an amazing response. I mean, I just think that in general that didn't get enough attention. I wanted to mention it with you. All right, so you spent a lot of time, in addition to growing up in Texas and obviously being well-versed in the Cowboys and A&M and all those rivalries, you also covered the Patriots in Boston on television there. And so I'm curious on this. Are you rooting for Brady and the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl again? Or as an NFL fan, is it better if Patrick Mahomes wins because he represents the future of the NFL and we're ready to turn that page?
So, I mean, personally, I want the Patriots to win because it's like my dream scenario would be the Cowboys and the Patriots in the Super Bowl, because as growing up in Dallas and being a Cowboys fan and then also covering the Patriots, it's the best of both worlds. I think Brady Breeze for the NFL is still a really good storyline. So if you look at it from that standpoint of NFL fans, you get to see those two guys probably for the last time in the Super Bowl against each other. But I love the fact that the championship game is against Patrick Mahomes. I think it's by far the most interesting AFC championship in a long time, because you do get to see that, you know, the young kid that's just slinging it around. But I think the Patriots are still the better storyline in it, because I don't necessarily know how, like, a Patrick Mahomes Saints Super Bowl would look, but at the same time, I guess if you've got a 23-year-old quarterback in the Super Bowl, it's going to sell. But I still think the Patriots are a better storyline.
You will probably be at the Super Bowl, I would imagine, regardless of who's playing. So they have a lot of different concerts that go on at the Super Bowl. You've been to a couple of Super Bowls before. You know what the kind of the tenor of the area is. And really, it's as much of a big corporate kind of party as it is a football game. And so I don't know if you saw this, but DirecTV sent out an email saying, hey, this year the big performer at DirecTV's concert is going to be Foo Fighters. And so my wife is a big Foo Fighters fan, and they said, hey, do you want to cover this as media? You can go and watch the red carpet. And so I emailed back and said, actually, am I enough of a famous celebrity to just walk the red carpet instead of having to be there as a media member covering it? And the reason why I could do this is, well, then I can bring my wife with me, because you get a plus one on the red carpet, right? Do you think I should qualify as a celebrity to walk the red carpet? I put this up on Twitter, by the way, and the reaction was mixed. And I haven't gotten an official response from DirecTV about whether or not I qualify as a celebrity. But it's out there. I'll give you – hold on. I'll give you the reaction from the Twitter poll that I put up. Am I a celebrity? 23,000 people voted. 55% said no, 45% said yes. How would you vote?
Well, I'm going to vote because I hope that they say yes. So I'm going to say that you are, because I just want to see the content that comes out of that, of you walking the red carpet with your smoke show wife at a Foo Fighters concert and people being like, who is this? Like, unless they're working in sports, you're like, who's this guy? And then half the other people are like, oh, that's Clay Travis. But I'm more doing this for your wife, because I know that she would look incredible on the red carpet, and a happy wife, happy life, Clay. So I'm really rooting for you, because she will, her whole year will be made if she gets to do that.
Yeah, it would definitely be a good look. And I think also people would be like, oh, is that girl, like, is she a reality television person? My wife's pretty good looking. And they'd be like, who is this? Like, I think there'd be some uncertainty from, the guys would know, I think, in sports media. But
yes,
there'd be a lot
sure.
of other people there from Atlanta, you know, like People Magazine, stuff like that. They would have no clue who I am. Now, the last time we talked, we haven't had you on in a while. We need to make sure and rectify that. But you were about to go on Yacht Week. And we said mm-hmm. we were going to ask you about Yacht Week. So for people who have not heard of Yacht Week before, tell us what it is and what it was like.
Okay, so Yacht Week is basically where you get on a yacht with about 10-ish other people, and it's half girls, half guys, They try to keep it split down the middle, so it's just equal numbers. And you're with 30 other yachts, approximately, and you're sailing. We went to Croatia. They have different routes all over the world. They've got it in Greece, the British Virgin Islands. But you go on this yacht for an entire week, and you sail around to the different parts of the country. You anchor down in the middle of the ocean and, like, all have these huge parties in the middle of the ocean with DJs and dancing and the whole thing. And it's, I mean, it's, I hate saying it's a glorified cruise because it's so much better, but it's basically just a yacht cruise with, you know, hundreds of other people around your age. And Clay, I told you all about it before I went, and I was super excited because if you see the trailer, it just looks incredible. It doesn't do it justice. It is the most amazing trip I have ever taken in my entire life. It's not reality. You live in a bathing suit, and you're with, like I said, hundreds of other people that are just around your age also living in bathing suits for an entire week. It is incredible. I can't even speak highly enough about it.
So you're in Croatia. How much time do you spend on the yacht versus how much time you spend in a port?
Well, that's kind of like with the cruise. You know, you're like, most of the time when I've done cruises, I like to stay on the boat. With Yacht Week, there are some days where you're sailing almost the whole day. And if you're not sailing, you anchor down in the ocean and, like, everybody gets in, like, a circle raft. Like, all the boats create a circle. So you spend your day on the water. Then other days you anchor at a port. And then at night you can go out and go to the different clubs or whatever. And Yacht Week as a company has different places you can go with bottle service and all that stuff. And then at night you get back on the boat, and when you wake up in the morning, you're sailing again. So it just depends on the day. But, I mean, I would say probably it's a good 50-50 split, but I enjoyed the sailing days more because you're just, like I said, partying on a yacht in the middle of the ocean. But seeing the different parts of the country was cool as well. You had the option to, like, hike and stuff, but I don't know why anybody would ever do that. Like, that sounds ridiculous. Like, if you're on Yacht Week, you're not going hiking. Like, come on. Like, just party a little bit for me. Don't go hiking. That's just not a smart decision.
How attractive is the average man and the average woman on Yacht Week?
Pretty attractive. I mean, they've got, of course, they have the Instagram models and all that that come too, which is the people that you see on the different trailers and videos and all that. But I mean, there's a lot of just, like, people from around the world that just all come together and you fly your same flag. So of course, like, when you see, like, the German boat and you've got all these beautiful German girls partying in bikinis, you're like, oh, that's the hot boat. So I mean, it's there's a lot of, you know, just everyday people as well. But I think the age range, I'd say, is like around like 22 to maybe like late 30s, with most of it being like late 20s, early 30s. And it's just a lot of people who just want to lay around in a bikini for a week. So you can imagine that people are pretty confident in those bikinis for the most part.
So it's like Bachelor on the yacht, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's like nonstop partying. I mean, you're not sleeping very much and you're constantly, you know, swimming and drinking, and there's, you know, just anything you can think of that's going on there, it's going on. I can promise you that. It is an absolute insane world, and it's also just beautiful. I mean, you're in Croatia. You can't complain.
Will you do it again?
Probably. I want to do a different route. They also have New Year's Eve routes, and I've heard that's amazing. So British Virgin Islands, they do it for New Year's Eve, and I feel like I have to hit that up at some point. It's tough because of football season, but I feel like that would be just incredible to do, like watching the fireworks from a yacht in the middle of the British Virgin Islands.
Now, I texted you during this game, and you talked earlier about the fact that you're a huge Texas A&M fan. How optimistic are you on a scale of 1 to 10, given Jimbo Fisher's first year at A&M?
I'm very optimistic in a vacuum of what I think he can do for A&M and this team, and I think you saw that at the end of the year, the fact that they didn't just completely lay down, especially against LSU, and were still able to get that win like they had in the past. But Alabama's in their division. That's the whole thing with me. Until Alabama, I mean, and I guess what we saw in the national championship is not what we expected to see. I'm optimistic that they'll be able to be more competitive in the SEC West this year and hopefully being able to make an actual case that they could beat Alabama at some point. But until Alabama is not who they are right now, I just can't say that, yeah, they're going to win the conference anytime soon because it's just difficult to bet against Nick Saban. But I like what he's doing. I think they've got good players and they're young, and I feel like the culture, which is so cliche, the culture seems a little bit different with him than it did at the end of the Sumlin years.
We're talking to Casey Smith. She's at Barstool Sports. Lincoln Riley just got Jalen Hurts now as a graduate transfer quarterback. He was simultaneously restricting his own graduate transfer quarterback from going to West Virginia because it's in the same conference. Oklahoma later relents. I called out Lincoln Riley for this on Twitter, and he blocked me.
Did he really?
He blocked me on Twitter. What is your reaction to a head football coach blocking someone who says, hey, you're making a bad decision, you should let your graduate transfer quarterback transfer, since you're recruiting over the top of him to bring Jalen Hurts in?
It's pretty soft, I'm going to be completely honest. Like, that, to me, first of all, you have a mute button. So if he just wants to mute you and mute all the notifications that are coming in with your name, fine. Nobody would ever know it. Like, that could be a soft move as well. But blocking somebody is just, what are we doing? Why? What did you say that was wrong? I don't understand, because it is petty. What he was doing was a very petty move, but what a soft move. I didn't know he did that. I didn't see that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it, and I was like, I was in disbelief. And I don't know how quickly he managed to do it. I don't think that I've been blocked by any head college football coach that I know of. And look, there's a lot of guys out there that I have ripped to the high heavens, right, over the years for a variety of different things. I'm in the opinion business. You're not always going to agree with me. And in this situation, Oklahoma actually ended up agreeing that my position was right. So in addition to the fact, like, it'd be different if I was, you know, just going completely personal. I can totally understand why, if somebody is, I block people sometimes, right, on Twitter. If I get into the mentions and I see that, like, you've sent me 20 straight mentions and it's just all, like, I try to read what people are sending, and it's almost impossible to do if you don't. And I'm not a mute guy, because I don't like them to then be able to reach my audience. So I understand, but I haven't blocked, I don't think, anybody who's verified on Twitter, right? Like, to me, that's kind of a standard of what you're saying being somewhat useful. And so it's crazy to me. Like, that is an ultimately soft move, right? For a coach of a program as big as Oklahoma to do that?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And what I don't understand is the fact that, like, if there's anybody out there that agreed with what he was doing, like, you were saying what was right on Twitter because that was the right thing. As soon as I saw the Jalen Hurts news hit the internet, I was like, oh my God, like, Lincoln Riley is literally blocking a kid from wanting to do the exact same thing that Jalen Hurts is trying to do. And so it's like, I don't understand why that would have been, like, a controversial take for you to throw out there. But blocking somebody of, like, in the media like that for saying something like that, that's just soft. Like, he should just not be on Twitter if he can't handle that. And I like Lincoln Riley. I actually think Lincoln Riley would be a great coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the future. So I'm all on his side when it comes to that, but I had no idea he was out there blocking people for speaking the truth on Twitter. That's a tough look.
We have now the wokest take of 2019 so far. Uh-oh. I don't know if you've seen this yet. Have you seen this?
I don't know.
All right, so on First Take yesterday, Molly Karam, who sits between Skip and Max Kellerman there, they were talking about Clemson's players going to the White House and getting hamburgers, and she decided that the hamburger giving by Donald Trump was racist. We have audio for you, because she gets cut off here at the end before she can continue her argument, but I want to get your reaction. Here she is.
I took it very differently. When I saw him giving the football players, it's a predominantly black sport and fast food, my thought went a very different place. Also,
the president likes fast food.
All right, so hamburgers being racist, where does that rank on the woke meter?
I mean, that's a pretty woke take, because my first thought was, like, they're college kids. They're going to take free food no matter what. I would have taken free McDonald's from the White House 10 out of 10 times when I was in college. The fact that there's even a race situation in this at all is, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised, because it's 2019, but, I mean, who doesn't love hamburgers? Who? Like,
that's
what are
my
we
argument.
Doing here? This, like, everybody loves hamburgers. I don't care who you are. So that seems like a little bit of a reach. But then again, in this day and age, you really can't do anything without somebody on the opposite side being mad about it. But I like to go on record as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white girl from Dallas, Texas. I love hamburgers.
Yeah, it's a really controversial take from you. All right, so you're at Barstool. What have you got planned over the next couple of weeks as the AFC and NFC championship games come to fruition on Sunday, and then the Super Bowl gets set up?
So we're going to be at the Super Bowl for the entire week, no matter who's there. Obviously, if the Patriots are there, it'll be a bigger group of us. But a bigger group of us are going to go to Atlanta. We'll be doing live radio there from the Ivy in Atlanta. So we'll be there all week. And then, of course, like, we, you know, doing our serious shows leading up to, it'll be mostly NFL stuff. And then once football season ends, it'll get to kind of be like a free time for me and figuring out what I want to do before college football starts again, we had a great college football season traveling and doing all of the big live shows. So I'm excited to see what the off season is going to look like, because it's my first true off season with Barstool now that I've gotten my feet wet and been there for a year. So it's, it's a crazy world. The internet's a crazy world. I know you know that. So we'll see. We've got some stuff in the works, and it'll be a really fun offseason leading up. But the Super Bowl is going to be insane. I can't wait. And I can't wait for all the parties and to be there. And I know you'll be there. So that's really, I can only see the Super Bowl right now. After that, I'll deal with everything else.
Do you still read your mentions? I'm curious. I always like to ask people, like, obviously, this, you, now you've been on television, and television's great. But I feel like once you become native to the internet, things change. And I'm sure you've seen there being a difference between being on television on NBC in Boston and being on television with ESPN and all that stuff. But being native to the internet is a different vibe. Do you still read your mentions?
I do sometimes. It depends on what I'm doing. I like to read, like, read them. If I know I've said something crazy on the radio show, then I like to go see what the reaction is. They're hard to keep up with. I mean, you know that much better than me because you've seen it for years now with all your followers. I do think that it's a funnier reach when you live on the internet because people think that they're more connected to you, right? Like, I feel like when you're on TV and you're only on TV, it's harder to reach you. Now with the internet and with the way that Barstool interacts with their fans, it's like they feel like you're their friend. So people will talk to you as if like they know you personally more so. And I think that's for better or worse. I don't read all of them. It just depends on the day. But the internet's just a trash can sometimes. So if I know I've said something that's going to be controversial and people are going to be mad, I'm like, you know what? I think I'll skip my mentions for today. But I still read most of them. Instagram DMs are a dumpster fire, Clay. Like, I don't. The things I get in my Instagram DMs are just ridiculous. Like, I wish I could release all of them. I can't even begin to explain it, but that's like the real dark hole of the internet for me is my Instagram.
How often do you get unsolicited penises sent to you on Instagram?
Pretty often, which I didn't want to like go out there and talk about that. 'Cause I was like, if I start talking in my Barstool language, I'll get you some sort of fine from swearing. So I didn't want to go that way, but a couple times a week. It just depends on what picture I put up on my story or whatever. My favorite thing that's happening, and it's happened for a little bit now, is I will get one that has like six other girls getting sent the same thing, and I don't know any of them. So I'm like curious, is this guy like sending them to six different girls, like thinking all we're getting them all individually, or does he want all six of us to see it at the exact same time? I don't know what the move is there, but maybe it's working. It's not working on me.
Phenomenal, as always, Casey Smith. Go follow her on Twitter. Don't send her naked photos, at Casey Smith.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.